Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday midweek. Wednesday, March the 25th, 2026, 3:25:26, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you with us this morning. Not bad temperature-wise right now. Where are we at? 36 degrees, a little over freezing. Supposed to be much warmer as the week goes along. And up and down, I guess, is the way it goes right now in the Midwest as spring has sprung as of last Friday or Saturday, depending on when you recognize it. Well, gas is up over $4 now. That is a dramatic increase. You know, I remember, what was it, late February, gas was something like $2.60, $2.70, somewhere in that neighborhood. $4 in the last month. We've went up almost $1.60 here in Marion. It's unbelievable. I remember Monday night driving back from the city council meeting and seeing that some places had gas for $3.99. Now, Meyer was still saying $3.77, but this is the way it goes, I guess. I don't know if this is stressing people out or not, as spring break is upon us or Easter coming up. Will people travel? Will people... I don't know what a chunk this is taking out of people's finances, because, you know, gas is one of the most fundamental things that we use. I mean, we are not a city that really uses public transportation, so most people have cars going back and forth to work, going back and forth to school, going back and forth doing your daily activities. When gas goes up that much, that can put a bite on you per gallon. So we'll see what happens. Let's see here. Well, I was at McDonald's this morning, and a sure sign of spring, as far as I was concerned, was there were ducks in the parking lot. Now, why there were ducks in the parking lot, I'm not really sure. I did see the ducks return to the pond out in front of where I live. They returned a few weeks ago, so I thought that was a sure sign of spring. But ducks walking around in the McDonald's parking lot, that's a little different. I don't know that I've seen that in recent times. I'm not sure where the body of water is around there. Maybe they came over from across the street, the college, and maybe they wanted some breakfast. I don't know. But a couple ducks walking around the McDonald's parking lot this morning, which is really not a safe place for them to be. People drive through that parking lot and the Kroger parking lot and the Walmart parking lot rather quickly. Well, yesterday we were talking about city council, and we didn't have the full hours to full 2 hours to do that yesterday, because we did the interview with Andrew Wyatt, Bill Cosby's former spokesperson, which was a very interesting interview, I thought. You know, it's still hard for me to believe, and I understand what Bill Cosby has been through and accused of and went to prison for over the last decade, but to think that Bill Cosby, one of the richest entertainers and most well-known entertainers in the history of America, is now considered to be broke because of all these lawsuits and legal representation that he has had to retain, that's really an unbelievable thing to think about, that he is now broke at 88 years old at this point in his life. I don't know. Just something about that. Does anybody have any thoughts on any of this? By the way, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, well, Monday night city council meeting, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but it was a fascinating meeting in that city council did pass the 50% tax credit for those who work outside the city. Now, remember, this was a 100% tax credit. It was proposed to be totally taken away, down to 0%. And then it was amended 2 weeks ago back to 50% after I think a lot of citizens complained, and it was passed on Monday night. So it will be a 50% tax credit. Now, for those people who are getting the tax credit now, that stings a little bit. Stings a little bit, but also on the whole, it's better than zero, I guess. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Let's talk about ducks.
Oh, ducks. I like talking about ducks.
I can't believe you've seen ducks already. It is kind of early in the season for them.
Well, they were at McDonald's.
Well, I believe you. Did you see what they ordered?
You know, I didn't, but I'm guessing it was probably not fish.
Fish sandwich. Oh, too early for fish, isn't it?
They don't want fish. They want red meat.
Oh, I would have stuck around to see what the ducks ordered. I'd have held the show up for that just to see what they were having. If they liked their coffee black or if they were having a Diet Coke or what it was.
You know, they weren't making any noise, which I thought was interesting.
They're one way to protect themselves from the 5,000-pound moving rockets or moving automobiles that are acting like rockets is to make noise, and they're not doing it.
No, they were just walking around, and usually you see ducks around bodies of water. And there's really no body of water in that area.
On the other side of, between Applebee's and University Drive, whatever it is, the old JDC, there's that ditch that sits right in front of it.
Right.
And they'll be in there a lot. I think the geese, this is my contribution to the story, I think the geese at Marion Tech run roughshod over there of that pond. And they don't let just anybody in. You went to OSUM, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, did you have the geese problem then?
You know, I don't think there was, because I don't even think there was a University Drive then.
Okay, well, when I went to Marion Tech, I don't think I left Marion Tech in 2013, so I don't know if University Drive was there yet or not. Doesn't seem like it was. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
By 2013, I think it was, because I'm pretty sure it opened somewhere, between 2010 and 2012.
Okay. See, it's one of those things you're like, it feels like it's been there forever, but you know it hasn't been there forever. You just can't put your finger on when it went in.
That's true. I remember when it opened, though. You want to hear a funny story before we get back to the ducks?
Oh, yeah.
When University Drive first opened, one night, because it wasn't a street that a lot of people traveled, when it first opened, a lot of people didn't travel it because, they just didn't know it was there. They didn't know where it went.
Isn't it the busiest, most traveled road in the county now, I think? I heard that or read that, or one of them.
Well, it's a good through street. I wouldn't be surprised. But so I was traveling the bit from 95 to 309. To where the new Harding is.
From Walmart to Harding, basically.
Yeah. But it was at night, and I was coming home from work, and it was probably, 9 o'clock, 9:30, something like that. And I was driving home, and again, it's a new road, and there isn't anybody on it. And I get down to, I'm approaching where the stoplight is on 309. And I still don't know how this happened. And I'm not even sure if it's still there. I'd have to go by there and see. But there's a big metal pole. There used to be a big metal pole on the right side of the road just off the street. Right down by the stoplight. I don't know why it was there. It was kind of an ill-placed thing, I thought. But it was winter, and I was driving down there, and I started to slide a little bit. It's not like the car was out of control or I was going to go through the light or anything like that.
Just to make you gasp?
Yeah, just a little slide. And that being a new road, I just, I was doing the pumping of the brakes, and I thought, well, I don't want a chance going through the light, so I'm just going to turn a little bit here because I'm not going that fast, and the curb will stop me. And I turned, and this thing was right on the curb, and I hit that pole.
That pole jumped out in front of you.
Well, something like that, and it didn't do any damage to the car because that's how slow I was going. But I'll tell you, a pole will stop you. And I just remember because I did not see it, because it's not like it was lit up or anything. It was dark, it was winter, and when I hit that pole, I thought, boy, oh boy. That'll stop you. I don't know why it's there though. Maybe they've taken it out since.
You.
Yeah, to stop me.
Now I want to go look and see if it's still there.
See if that pole. It was just a bit. It's like it was a slim gray pole that was coming out of the ground. Probably about 4 foot, something like that.
I don't think it's there anymore. Now that you describe it like that, I don't think there's anything there like that.
Well, I probably knocked it crooked.
I was going to say, you knocked it loose and it kicked it down.
I knocked it loose. They said, we've got to get rid of this.
My son did some mowing in that area this past summer, so I'm somewhat familiar with it. That's why I was kind of running it through my mind if it's still there. I don't think anything you explained, like a 4 foot pole, is there anymore. You took it out, one and done. The geese, man, at Marion Tech. Marion Tech, I remember 1 year, sent out an email that said they were putting fake coyotes around the campus. And I'm like, what in the world? Fake coyotes? This was my first year at Marion Tech, my first spring. And there, sure enough, there's these plastic coyotes out and about there to deter the geese, because the geese were so aggressive, they would actually chase us to our cars. Chase us from our cars.
Oh, they're rude. They're rude.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they're young. And we would walk in groups. Not because we were afraid of people in the parking lot, because we were afraid of geese. We would walk each other to our cars and kind of, I mean, you know, they're animals and they're protected and everything, so you're not trying to assault an animal anyways, but you sort of need to protect yourself for one. And so, like, we'd kind of just make noise and flail and flap our arms and walk to the cars together like that. But if we all did it together, we didn't look as crazy.
Well, do you see now, the geese do have a nasty disposition, but has anybody ever been attacked by a goose? I mean, what would they actually do?
No, because we run.
Right, but what would they actually do if they got
I always used to joke and say they had little pocket knives they were going to pull on us.
Well, you know
so
what it
I'm
is.
I'm not willing to find out.
Well, you know, every year, the pond in front of where I live, there's a ton of geese there. And I walk that every night. Oh, this, by the way, this brings me to something else I want to bring up. I've wanted to bring this up, but for some reason it's never had a place, but I'll get to it in just a second. But, so there's always a lot of geese there this time of year. And this is when they mate and they hatch their newborns. And that is when they are at their most defensive.
Oh, peak aggressive, yes.
Yes. So, if you go walking down there and you even get close to where they
minding
have...
Minding your own business.
Yes.
You don't even have to look at the geese.
Yeah. If you even get... Because you really don't know where they've planted these things. So, if you even get close to one, that's when they start making that noise and they start coming towards you. And they do look aggressive, but I always wonder, what would they actually do? Could they bite you? Is there anything on the inside of their mouth? I mean, what could they do?
Why don't you find out?
You know, that's a bridge I think I'm not going to cross.
I think this is like a piece of investigative journalism we all need.
Well, but this brings me to my other point. And this is we talk about a lot of epidemics in Marion. This is an epidemic in Marion that I think gets talked about not enough. And it's people who walk their dogs and they do not put them on chains, or they have big dogs and the people walking the dogs cannot control them. And when I go out and walk, there are, you know, you should not have to duck and dodge dogs when you go out and walk. Leave your dog inside.
Well, no, just take care of your, be a responsible pet owner, because I agree with you. I'm a dog person. I don't have pets anymore, but that's for emotional reasons. People, you know, just because I like a dog doesn't mean you like a dog, and you shouldn't be subjected to my dog when I'm out in public. So
I'm not against dogs.
No, I don't think you are. You're against irresponsible dog owners.
Well, I am, but this happens if I walk at a certain time, which is usually before dark, there will be inevitably somebody out with a dog. And when you're walking toward them, the dog will start to bark, and they still don't get off the sidewalk. You know, if I had a dog, I would move over into the grass and try to get out of the way if my dog is barking already at the person coming that way, because you know you're going to have to cross.
Well, this sort of goes to our entitlement mentality. People think of dogs as children, and I'm not saying that your dog isn't like family, because, like I just said, I don't have pets for emotional reasons. I'm still mourning my dog that passed a couple of years ago, and I don't think I can set myself up for that loss again, so no more pets for me. But, you know, people take their animals inside of the store. They think they're entitled to take their animal inside of every store. What if I'm allergic? Well, I am. I take medication. What if I'm allergic to animals and just want to go in and buy a T-shirt and not have your dog's nose up my behind? You know, so we've really kind of, it's my opinion, I think people overdo it with the pet thing. And that, oh, my dog can't be alone. Well, it can't be alone because you've never left it that way.
And the whole thing about, you know, and I've said it before, so again, if I'm offending somebody, I'm sorry about
sure
this.
I am right now.
Somebody
put my name down on the list.
This one really gets people. When it says survived by such and such.
Their beloved pet.
Their beloved pet. I just, every time I hear that, I think, oh.
Okay, yeah. Now, for a little context for that, my mother-in-law was diehard, never would have another dog once she retired, and, you know, she was living her life pet-free. She wasn't cleaning up after an animal, this, that, the other. My father-in-law really wanted a dog. She wasn't having it. He passed away very unexpectedly, six-month illness. She got a dog. That dog is her soulmate. They are best friends. That dog, right, she has a vehicle that the dog gets transported in every day that basically is covered in drool and dog hair, and, I mean, it's just, I don't want to call it the junk vehicle. The dog's name is Millie. I call it the Millie-mobile. And the back seat is a little SUV. The back seat's laid down, and it's got a little sticker on the back of it that says Millie. And, I mean, those two are two peas in a pod. So I would see, I call it the dog my sister-in-law. I mean, that's the joke. But I could see putting in her obituary, survived by her loyal companion, Millie, or something like that.
And I understand people are very close with their animals. I have been fond of several animals over the years. But I guess what it is when I hear an obituary, first of all, you don't know the relationship of the pet to the person. So to me, it sounds sad in a lot of ways that that's who's surviving you is the animal.
True.
And number two, the other thing is that how we are writing those obituaries, that's the family that is left to move on without you. That's a chance to say, okay, this was such and such's mother, father, and
uncle. I've already got my own obituary written.
You wrote your own obituary?
Oh, yeah. It gets updated from time to time.
Now, that's fascinating. But my point, let's come back to that in a second. But my point is that a dog or a cat cannot survive you. They can be around.
Animals very, very much have broken hearts when their loved ones pass.
No,
away.
But all I'm saying
or
is they
move or whatever.
Their dog and cat friends are not coming to the service, which is really why that's in there.
Now listen, my sister-in-law named Millie. We think of her as family, so her name is going in the obituary.
Listen, people can do what they want, obviously.
As much as obituaries cost, nobody's name is going in the damn thing.
Now, you know what? I have known people over the years
they died, they were loved.
I have been in the, this comes back to the writing of obituaries. I have been in the room when people are putting together the obituary, and some people will have a dog, and they'll want to slip that in there, and I say, don't do that. I say, don't. Forget that. You know, the dog is the person could be on vacation. The dog would not know any different. So, you know, I just, the whole survived by a dog thing, I don't know. It's different.
Well, apparently you won't be survived by any pets.
No. I may not be survived by anybody at this point, you know.
Well, who's going to write your obituary then?
Well, now this comes, why are you writing your obituary?
Well, I found out in 2019 that I had cancer, and I'm fine. I'm not, like, on death's door, and I'm not suicidal or anything like that, but when that happened, and, 2019, and I just went through a lot of health issues, and my family made the choice to set ourselves up for what happens when we die. We have wills, and we have all of our estates and everything like that in order, so, yeah, when the guy at City Council wanted to talk to me like I was an idiot and just one of those people, Monday night, I've actually done end-of-life planning and understand how all of this stuff works, so I'm not just some idiot that wandered up there from Silver Street. But part of that, I put together, I want my last wishes. I don't want a funeral. I've got a playlist. I want sort of like a party, just a gathering. People come together, eat, drink, have a good time, listen to some music, hang out, you know, remember me, don't mourn me. Probably be like three people there. But they have explicit instructions of what they're to do. I have a little playlist of music that I want played, and if people want to talk, they can. But if not, I don't want a casket. I want to be cremated. I'm leaning towards being turned into one of those trees, but I suppose they could do whatever the hell they wanted to with me once I'm a pile of ash. So yeah, I've got it all planned out. I've experienced so much death with family members in my life that it's a horrible time to begin with, and then having to make such expensive and major decisions during such a painful time, I don't want to have to do that to my own family to go through that.
Well, I understand all the financial things, and I understand all the plans that the person would have wanted. I think that's a good conversation to have with anybody. I don't know that I've ever known anybody who wrote their own obituary.
Well, if it's how I want to be remembered, right?
Right, but I mean...
It's how other people remember me. It's how I want to be remembered. If they want the obituary, they can pay for it.
Well, I don't know. That's interesting to me because... to me, to sit down to write your own obituary seems a little dark in a way.
Why? You're reflecting on your life and all the things and people that were important to you and the things that you did that mattered.
Yeah, but you know, see, I kind of feel like my obituary should say, you know, he died on this date, and if you knew him better, you would know more.
That's a good one.
See, there you go.
Let's say I live some ripe old age, you know, 100 plus, and... I don't know, I die on the beach in Cancun or something like that, you know, in my retirement, and somebody up here needs to crank out an obituary about me. Hopefully there's no one left up here if I'm living in Cancun, but, you know, somebody up here needs to crank out an obituary about me. They don't know me, you know what I mean? So this is how I want to be memorialized. Oh, and it's not like, oh, she lit up every room and she was just a joy to be around. It's not that kind of stuff. It's nothing like that. So it's more humorous than anything.
Well, you know, it's just, it's fascinating to me because over the years when certain people have died, I have been called to, it's not so much their obituary, but the story, if they were, I guess, a well-known person enough, if they died.
I've written a couple of obituaries for other people too, so yes, I understand what you're saying.
Well, it's just like if the newspaper is typically who does this, if they do a story, you know, on the person's death, aside from the obituary, a lot of times I was, like Martha Dowse, Charlie, Madge, I was called to give a few quotes in those obituaries. And, you know, that's always a weird, I mean, you know, you have to say something nice, but it's you want to be somewhat profound, because usually they don't ask the family, because the family is very broken up at that point.
Right.
So,
and death is just very complicated. So my thought is, if we can make it any easier on the people that we leave behind, then why not? And hopefully when they read it, they giggle. And if they hate it, then they don't have to run it, right?
Well, you know, I think if you pay the money, they have to run it.
I'm talking about my family.
Oh, your family, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
but yes. If they read it and they giggle, then run it for Granny. And if not, then put something in there about how I lit up a room, even though we all know it's a lie.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody lights up some room for somebody. You know, isn't that all perspective?
Monday night. Good segue.
Yes, Monday night.
No, I just wanted the budget and stuff. You know, that's still going around, and we didn't talk much about it yesterday.
But no, we got off on a whole other thing yesterday.
Did Danny Clark have time for you this morning? I was wondering.
No, we have not. It was a cordial. He did respond, so I can't say he didn't respond.
He said he was busy. I was wondering if he had time for you this morning.
Well, I think I think I don't want to misrepresent what he's saying, but I think what it is I think he does not want to address this at this point.
Hmm. Well, he didn't mind addressing me Monday evening. I'm not going to rehash it though. I filed a police report yesterday. I filed an official police report with John Schaefer and Mark Russell, even though Mark Russell was there. I mean, I can't say they didn't do anything about it if I don't file a police report, right?
Right. Well, it's unfortunate.
So now we have two councilmen that have had a police report filed against them. I asked for the video for inside council chambers and outside, too, because I would place money on the fact that Sean Barr moved his vehicle to be closer to the door to accost me on my way out. I know where he was parked when he walked in, because we were parking at the same time, and his vehicle was not parked. He was parked in a handicap spot when I came out.
So what is the rage, I guess?
I sent a nice report to the state of Ohio yesterday, too. It was 13 pages long. So people think I just there and ramble stuff on. I ask questions that I know the answers to often. If I don't, it's because they won't tell me. And if they won't tell me, then I just pass it on to the state of Ohio.
Well,
I know people think I'm making that stuff up, but I can point to 6 investigations that have been launched by my complaints. So why these people don't take me seriously, I don't know.
Well, I guess what I don't understand is we know what the comment was that he made to you. Now, this is
a bitch.
Okay, there you go. And I guess what I don't understand, clearly...
I want some context, too, for people to know. I'm 5'3", I weigh 147 pounds. I'm a size 6. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4", I'd say. And he's much, much larger than I am. And he was aggressively shouting at me, a man that size. And, you know, I thought about the comment that your person sent you on Facebook yesterday about the abuser thing. He would not take no for an answer from me. He would not take no that I did not want to interact with him. I was interacting with him whether I wanted to or not. Same with Danny Clark. They forced me to interact with them. I couldn't leave because they were between me and the door. I would have had to have put myself in closer proximity to them, or I would have had to have like ran around all the outside of the benches and ran out the door, and there were people. So, I mean, like, even my clear path to the door to get away was blocked. So,
yeah, but
I'm...
What was he so upset about?
Cornered. What were they so upset about?
Well, what was the big problem?
I don't know. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. And when I told him I didn't want to hear what he had to say, I became a stupid bitch.
Right, but you don't have any inclination as to what they were upset about?
Well, I'm assuming it's because I'm busting out their little property deal. I laid that all out for the state of Ohio. That's in the state of Ohio's hands now.
Yeah, but once it was all...
Sean Barr says he is friends with Marcy Logan. Marcy Logan is the fiduciary on this estate. They would not say her name in that council chambers, and you were there. They refused to say her name. Aaron Rollins says to Sean Barr, are you friends with the widow? Well, yeah, I'm friends with the widow, but we're talking about the estate. She is... The estate. She is the estate. Sean Barr is personal friends with her, and Sean Barr's vote was necessary for it to pass Monday night. So we'll let the state of Ohio deal with it. But they sure were upset. If there wasn't anything shady going on, Scott, wouldn't they have been like, "Oh, it's okay to take a breath and pause and check this out for a minute," instead of sit down and stop asking questions? Doesn't that pique your radar when they tell you to stop asking questions?
Well,
just
yeah, but
down
what?
And stop asking questions.
But what do you think made Dan Clark so angry?
Danny Clark has been nasty since he's been. I want you to think about this. He hasn't even been on council for 3 months, and now a police report has been made against him for his conduct. The way he talks to us is disgusting. He actually refers to us as those people. Well, you're one of those people. That's what he thinks of us. So his conduct has been escalating since day one.
I just... It's
3 months. He hasn't even been in office for 3 months, and there's a police report about him accosting a member of the public, and we've got a year and 9 months left of him. 21 months left of that.
Well...
And I had sent an email 2 weeks before when he was interrupting me and said something about my murdered mother when we were a week ago when we were talking about SWAT cameras. Oh, I was wondering how long it would be before she mentioned that. You know, this is the same guy that tells Ayers Ratliff him getting his life ruined as a one-off. Tells me that I'm one of those people, but yet he represents us all.
Well,
calls me a stupid bitch, but he represents us all, and he hasn't even been in his seat for 3 months.
Well, this is what I have felt as time has gone on. As I said yesterday, I think there's some kind of, I don't know, we're losing decorum, and it's very unfortunate because people have said things in council meetings, and heaven knows little fights have broken out here and there, but I don't ever remember one with an audience member. I mean, I remember council members getting angry with administrations. I remember council members getting angry with law enforcement. I remember seeing things like that.
I want you to think about why they were so angry, though. They were angry because I'm up there asking them questions about something they are rushing through. They passed it through committee and through council in the same night, and I'm standing there going, you guys need to take a second and pause, and then I get called a stupid bitch by 2 council members. I get accosted for asking questions. Now, if that is not a suppression of my speech, and if that is not, I don't know what is. I mean, when someone asks questions and says, hey, you have an interest in this. You shouldn't be voting on this. And then you're screamed at and they wait for you in the parking lot afterwards. Do you think somebody with a completely clean conscience would do that, would take those steps, that behavior? If you knew you had done nothing wrong, would you wait for me in the parking lot and start talking shit about my family?
Well, do you think this has anything to do with the fact that, the person...
Well, I want to say this. He drugged family into it, so now family's fair game, buddy.
Oh, well, here we go. I guess the point...
When your daughter looks like Sasquatch, you might want to remember that.
Oh.
Ooh, there it is.
But in any event, I guess the point is that do you think that anything in this mess has to do with the fact that the person who originally owned the land is deceased and died very unexpectedly
yes.
and young?
Yes. There's all kinds of
emotion.
All kinds of kinds. The man has been deceased for almost well over a year, almost 2 years. Because in fall of 2024, Mark Davis was talking about putting a Dollar General there. The man had passed, I believe, in the summer of 24, very unexpectedly. The family has been, I don't want to say worrying it out, but there's no will. And he had a lot of assets. So I can tell you what happens when there's assets and no wills. Families fight. I know that from my own experience.
Right, but do you think...
And now, all of a sudden, that land is not in the name of the estate. That land is still in the name of the deceased owner.
Right.
Is it possible that it gets probated through this whatever? But what I'm telling you is that estate, on paper, just prove that estate has power to ask for that. That's it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that his conduct on Monday and why he took this particular issue more personal than others is because of his relationship? No?
No, because I have an email to him last year that I told him, we laid this all out. I said, you know, you've admitted in these emails you were friends with the property owner. He says he was friends. I was friends with him until his passing. Should you be voting on your friend's land to be annexed?
What answer did he give?
Well, in the email, all I said was, when it comes up, I expect you to recuse yourself from the vote. That's all I said. Okay? And it never came up. It came up. I asked him to recuse himself from the vote. I'm a stupid bitch. I deserve to be accosted. I deserve to be waited on in the parking lot.
But
you think maybe he's really just pissed off that I just screwed up his friend's deal that might not have had an extra set of eyes on it if I wasn't paying attention?
Now, didn't the law director, though, didn't he say...
I don't trust anything he says.
No, but didn't he... Wasn't there a question and he said, yes, you're fine to vote?
Mm-hmm. He also told Aaron Rollins that it was okay for him to vote to give his girlfriend a job. Which the state of Ohio came out and wrote an entire policy after that. After I submitted that to them, to the Ohio Department of Ethics, the Ohio Department of Ethics came out with a whole policy about domestic partners. I'm not saying I caused it. I'm just saying that I sent that to them and said, hey, there's no policy about this. You guys might want to do something. 3 months later, there's a policy released by the Ohio Department of Ethics about domestic partners.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Like I said, I reached out to Danny, and I would like to know why he did what he did and why he did it in council chambers, because we don't want to say that we're one-sided here. We want to hear the other side of it.
No, you're right, but they can't. They've got to stop with trying to enforce the rules and gavel us if they're going to behave like that.
Well, I don't know. I would just think at some point, again, I have seen council members use profanity. I have seen council members yell at law enforcement.
John Barr is doing things like call the question, which is a procedural thing, to get people to stop talking. When there's not even a question on the floor, that means a vote. He did that. I wrote it down. He did that Monday night. He's calling the question because he wanted Kim Mayer to stop talking. I mean, they're now like starting to pull stuff out of their pockets so they don't have to listen to us.
Well, I think at this point they're feeling the pressure of what's
going on. Okay, well, they've got another 18, 19 months of this, 20 months of it. They signed up for it. They better get used to it.
Yeah, but I just think this is a very tense time. Not that it's okay, but I think this is...
With your mouth shut.
But I think this is a very tense time for the city.
John Barr knew that when he ran for re-election. They all knew this coming into it. It was going to be a shitstorm when they stepped in. They knew it. Don't take it out on us when we start asking questions.
I really don't know if they did. I think they, in their mind, knew that some bad stuff was coming, but I think they thought that they could...
They knew fiscal caution was a sure thing.
Right, but I think they thought we can make some adjustments and things will go okay. I don't think they thought there'd be an avalanche.
They overestimated their abilities, is what you're saying.
No, I just don't think they thought there... I believe that city council, and again, this is just my own belief, I believe over time they believed that the community had become disengaged and they could do things and the community would not have that type of outrage. And I think they did not count on when you mess with people's money like out-of-work tax credits, which they all had to change their vote on, more or less, because of the backlash they got when they tried to eliminate it. And that's also why I think they don't want, that they are pushing off getting rid of curbside recycling. They're pushing off raising the sanitation rate. They're pushing off raising the bus fare because they know
they're
there's going to be...
They're telling us that they're not opening the pool because there's no money budgeted for it. There's no money in that budget for the pool. And people that have gotten annual pool passes, they're normally filling out their paperwork by now.
Well, I don't know about the pool, but I know those three...
It's almost April.
Right, but I know those three decisions that I just mentioned were in the mayor's plan 1 month ago tomorrow, and no legislation...
Well, what they do is they sell the pool passes early so they can get early revenue.
Right, and whatever they do, but I guess what I'm saying is they've already told us they were going to do this stuff, mm-hmm. and yet there is no legislation, there's no conversation, there's no, none of it's been done, and it'll be 1 month tomorrow that the mayor's plan came out. Now,
I just wanted to go back to the Mark Russell thing, because I was thinking about how Mark Russell's letting all of this go on, about Mark Russell and Sean Barr allowing him to vote. Mark Russell might not have known that the email exists that Sean Barr says he's good, he was friends with the man until he passed, and that he's friends with the widow. Sean Barr might not have disclosed that to Mark Russell. But that would have been a good time for everybody to take a pause and ask a couple questions.
Well, Aaron did, right?
Yeah, but what did Sean Barr said? Yeah, I know her, but we're not talking about her. We're talking about the estate.
By the way, just completely
didn't
different
he say
than this.
Oh, you weren't there. Were you there?
I was there for the vote. Yeah. But now, just something different. All of this is politics in a way. And yesterday, I saw something very interesting. So it's not like I'm talking out of school here. It was on social media. You know, apparently Sherrod Brown visited a poet this past week.
Here, Miriam?
Yeah. Okay. So, Sherrod, of course, it's a PR thing, and of course he wants to talk to people, and of course he released something, I think, on his social media, Sherrod Brown did, about being a poet, talking with people who are in agriculture, so on and so forth. And Aaron Rollins, I think, is in one or two, three, some of
He's
these
the
pictures.
The plant manager.
Right. He works there. So
he runs the place.
So, Aaron...
He doesn't just work there, he runs the place.
There you go. So, Aaron shared these photos on his social media page.
Did he get backlash for it?
People were saying...
Is he a Democrat now?
Well, no, but it was, you know, you're supporting this guy, and this guy's awful. And Aaron, at one point, this is all paraphrased, but he said, I'm not saying I'm supporting him. I'm in the pictures. That's why I'm sharing them. He came to the plant. Now,
well, Sherrod Brown helped rescue Marion from our IRS debacle, or it would have been worse.
Yeah, but I did not see where Aaron said...
I didn't know this happened.
Well, I did not see where Aaron said he was supporting Sherrod Brown. But boy, that was the undertone or the overtone of the comment section.
Isn't that insane how... I just can't get over how... Like, the Schauber thing. Like, people... Somebody was a Democrat, and they're on his Facebook, his campaign page, and they said something like, was January 6th an armed coup, and did Joe Biden, or did, you know, was the 2020 elections rigged because they needed to hear answers from Schauber on those things before they would commit to voting for him? I thought, why? Why does it matter? He didn't have anything to do with January 6th, and I don't think he had anything to do with Joe Biden winning in 2020 or stopping the steal or anything else. So, I mean, Marion, Ohio is in shambles. Why do you care about something that happened years ago?
Well,
Over. Move on.
It's this whole issue with the connector of 23 and 71. It's why politicians are releasing statements on that. That is going to happen. That is a state thing. Okay, so why are politicians who have no vote, no way to stop it, releasing statements?
Are they coming up with resolutions and everything else? Right. We're going to fight for you. No, we're going to do what ODOT tells us. I mean, that's why I really haven't said one way or another on this. It doesn't matter what we want. ODOT's going to do what they want to do.
But they portray it as if they are going to stop it. They know darn well they don't have any... They can't stop it. They know what they're saying means nothing. But I have seen more politicians release statements on this issue. Marion politicians. You know, this is not even it's certainly not just a Marion thing. And I'm amazed by that. But if you would... It's like the water. If you look at it, you go, oh, well, maybe they're doing something. They have no control. None.
Well,
zero control.
Grogan did send a strongly worded letter, and the EPA came up here and said, yep, just like Aqua said, everything's fine.
But why are they reporting that? What, all these groups that said the water was contaminated and you can't drink it and it's awful, why aren't they reporting that story?
I know this. I got a water distiller. It's pretty cool. I call it cooking water. I cook water all day now, every day. And my plants are doing much, much, much better than they were. And end this with a random fact. After all the water stuff happened in Merriam, and I think you and I talked about, we think it was normal, just outside of normal we're not used to.
Right, right.
And I looked up our aqua, where our water comes from, and our aqua reserves, our water reserves, natural, our aquifers, are very high in mineral content, just because of the limestone and everything around here. And then you have all the agricultural runoff and stuff like that. So I don't think our water's, well, let's just say my plants are doing better. How's that?
Well, all I'm going to say on that is...
We have a very heavy mineral content in our water naturally. Even good treated water, we have heavy mineral content.
Well, I said it at the time. I said, I am not defending Aqua. But until we have evidence that something is going on, you cannot make those assertions with no evidence, because you are scaring people and you really have no proof that anything is wrong with the water except it tastes and smelled bad for a period of time.
I'm just glad it stopped, finally.
Right, but I guess the point is that, so all that whipping up of people, all that folderol, well, why now aren't you saying that the EPA said it was okay?
Well, and where's ever the outrage, the continued, the follow-through with the outrage from the community? Everybody was up in arms, thousands of comments about the water, and who's followed through on it?
I mean, all of the politicians who made comments at that time that the water was... Where are they now saying... Why aren't they blasting on social media the EPA report?
Because, you know what everybody will say? We don't believe them. They wouldn't tell us the truth anyway. So it's not as glamorous to take the nothing's wrong role as it is to, we're going to get to the bottom of this. When there's no bottom to get to, then...
And
you know.
That's why when you do reporting, you have to... report the facts until the facts say something different. And also, politicians are using these things, the 71 and 23 connector, they're using it as a wedge issue because they know it's unpopular. So they're saying, I'm going to do something about it, when they know they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, them writing a strongly worded letter is the equivalent of you and I writing a strongly worded letter about it.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, the state is going to do what they're going to do.
Noted, right?
Well,
thanks for your submission.
Well, yeah, I mean, explain to me what you're going to do, aside from you saying you don't like it and you're sending off a letter. And why do you send a press release out when you do that?
And what's it going to say? Like, we want to preserve our way of life. We don't want this. We want to, you know what I mean? It's not going to be like, well, this is going to damage our health and safety, and you can't do it for legal reasons. There's no backing to it. It's just purely an emotional letter you're sending to the state.
All I'm saying is, we get closer to May the 5th in this primary.
Go to Mayo.
But I think it's very interesting that it's... Now, there have been some other politicians who are not... involved in the primary, but a lot of the politicians involved in that primary are really using that as a big wedge issue to hopefully get themselves more votes, I guess.
And, Spears.
But I just think it's so ridiculous.
Disingenuous.
Well, it's disingenuous. It's ridiculous. And the things that people are doing, how badly must people want to be in office? I feel bad.
Exactly. That's what I've said repeatedly. The fact that these people want to be in control this badly to this point, it should concern us all.
Well, there is some weird stuff. There's some weird stuff going on when we're out there. But thanks for calling. We got to go to break.
Take care, Scott.
We'll be back.
1 p.m. The Marla Gibbs had better rhythm to me.